Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Ripkin, Fridays noon till 2 with Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, the same thing that we always see. A dynamic quarterback with a lot of talent around him and a team that can run the football. They, when they're really good, and they have been all year long, they can dictate the game by being two-dimensional the whole game. And you have to worry about it on every snap. It doesn't matter what the down and distance is. They'll run it when you're supposed to throw it and throw it when you're supposed to run it, and they got guys that can do it.
Steve Spagnuolo, former Ravens assistant coach, defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about that Ravens offense led, of course, by Lamar Jackson as they put up a ton of points in their first three games, 37 on average. But yet, they sit here at 1-2 on the year. It's Riveter with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. You want to get in, you can. You want to do your predictions, now's your chance to do so at 410-583-1057. We got the American League East report coming up and beyond at the bottom of the hour. Orioles in New York taking on the Yankees, start of a three-game set tonight in the Bronx. But the first three quarters of the Bills game, season opener, and we were talking about it, Ryan, the next day. Game that turned out to be a loss, unfortunately. I'm thinking to myself, said to my wife, said they're going to be the most unstoppable offense in football. I mean, Derrick Henry was at, he averaged, what, 9 yards a carry that game. Lamar was just, hey, who am I going to throw it to? It was mainly Zay Flowers, who had a monster career day. But I'm like, how is this team going to get stopped offensively? And then, unfortunately, because of the defense, another talking point the very next day, outside of them scoring 40 and looking like this maybe one of the great offenses we've seen in the last 20 years. Hey, why didn't they go for it on fourth down when it was 4th-and-3? Because the defense crapped the bed. Yeah, slow start against Cleveland, percolated in the second half. And they did drop 30 on Detroit. Yeah, they got the Andrews touchdown late to make it a little more impressive final score-wise. But, man, this offense can be brilliant, but 7 sacks to Lamar Jackson, who's been sacked 12 times this year, and the Henry fumbles have been maybe the biggest concern so far of the year.
I think in sports, if you watch it and you see what happens, and if you played, and this is at any level, when a monumental moment happens, or a team almost feels like they can take your soul with a drive, or it's a turnover that takes the breath out of you. Those are moments when I've watched when things have gone wrong for the Ravens. When they're playing with confidence and they're humming, they're unstoppable. Any defense, and I really believe that, and I think that's what we saw in Buffalo. They felt that they could do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, for three quarters. And then those plays happened. And then they looked a little bit deer in the headlights. They looked a little bit more reserved. And going to the Lions game, where the moments that I'm referring to, you pin the Lions back 2 yards, 3 yards from their own goal line, and they run, literally run from there all the way to the other goal line there. That's demoralizing. That right. was number one. The fumble by Derrick Henry, that took the wind out of the sails. But everything that in between, you just felt like the Lions, their will, I think, was daunting then. I think that set the tone. And the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, no matter what they did, you could tell that they didn't have that confidence that they were the better unit on the field, which I think that's the first time I can remember that that's actually happened on a field in a long time. So, look, are the Ravens capable of doing some tremendous things? I think that that's absolutely on both sides of the ball. But what the Achilles heel has been for them is closing out games. But when something goes wrong, how do you bounce back, Bob? And that's a big reason why they're 1-2. They weren't able to stop the bleeding in Buffalo, and they weren't able to make the plays against the Lions, and now they're going to Kansas City, backs against the wall.
You mentioned Derrick Henry and the fumbles. 3 weeks, three fumbles, two of them lost, both led to points and helped lead to defeat, ultimately for them. And to borrow a word from you or phrase, domed up.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's domed up a little bit here?
Yes.
This is a guy that never fumbles or rarely does. Now it's become a big... And the fact that they haven't rushed for over 100 yards in 2 weeks, but the fact that he's putting the ball on the ground, that's a big deal.
Oh, I mean, it is a big deal. I mean, you watch last night's game, Cardinals-Seahawks.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr., been domed up, right? Ball right off his hands earlier in the game, batted up, leads to an interception. Earlier, Kyler Murray's first interception was on a Marvin Harrison Jr. route, which he kind of stopped. Wasn't a good throw. And you could see the body language from Marvin Harrison Jr. It looked like it was weighing on him, and then he makes the touchdown catch, and you saw that relief. I'm bringing that up because that's what I see with Derrick Henry. I've never seen Derrick Henry that vocal, that distraught after a fumble, Bob. Have you?
No.
I can't remember.
He looked like a kid got sent to his room.
And you know it hurts him. But am I worried about Derrick Henry long term? No. I think the great ones will figure it out. But is he going to try to maybe hold on to the ball a little bit tighter? Is he going to be afraid to try to play with that freeness? Maybe. And the reality is they need the king to be the king, especially if you're going into the Chiefs' kingdom there on Sunday afternoon.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Columbia. It's Steve. Steve, thanks for holding your own with Vinny. Vinny left. It's Bob, Andy, Ryan. We're ribbing it with Ryan. And, of course, Mr. Excitement, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass.
Thanks for the beautiful segue because, I don't know if you guys have already mentioned in the previous segment, but what really baffled me watching the game was just, like, the complete lack of adjustments. Mm-hmm. So after the fourth or third sack, we're like, all right, we'll button this down. You know, we'll get this good, no more. And then three more come the way. And then after we were just pulverized, at the end of the game, I just kept on thinking, where the heck were the adjustments, man? Not just defensively, offensively. I know that with the beginning of the season, everyone heralded the Ravens the best thing to be, number one, you know, running all the way to the Super Bowl. But oddly enough, you might have some phenomenal players, but if you don't have the scheme to put them in places to succeed, they're not going to succeed. And what you're saying about Henry, spot on. Like, now if he holds the ball a little tighter, how many times have we seen in his career he just makes plays with that stiff arm? But if he has the ball tight, is he willing to stick that arm out? Is he willing to do what the king should do? But, yeah, if you guys talked about it, I'd love to hear again. What happened to the adjustments? Like, was there anything that was apparent that they said they couldn't make, not they couldn't, but wouldn't make adjustments, both not on the defensive side, but on the offensive. Hey, happy Friday, guys.
All right, thank you,
happy
Steve.
Happy Friday.
And I was watching Mark Ross from NFL Network, former Giants GM, earlier this week, the day after the game, kind of blaming the Ravens offense. I mean, where were your adjustments? You know what coverages they're throwing at you. I mean, how are you? They're 8 in a box the last couple of weeks to take away the run. And then a lot of man coverage, safeties. Why aren't you taking advantage of what they're giving you defensively? Which, you know, he's former GM, knows a hell of a lot more than I ever will. But again, goes back to why are we're blaming the offense here? But, you know, two sides to the football. And Lamar himself said, well, it's never enough points.
No, it's never enough points. I would look at, I think when you see how could a quarterback like Lamar Jackson be sacked 7 times. Like, I think that was the bigger thing that jumps out. The most elusive quarterback in NFL history got brought down 7 times behind the line of scrimmage. But when you watch it or you look at it, I think one thing I want to give Detroit credit, Detroit is relentless. They don't give up on plays. And whoever was spying, their eyes were on Lamar Jackson. Aiden Hutchinson, the big play for the fumble, that was an effort play. Like, he wasn't involved. He looped back around and kept going after Derrick Henry and forced the fumble. So on offense, though, yeah, I think the offense still did enough. The defense, though, couldn't get off the field. And I will just say this. I was listening to Dan Campbell because I love listening to Dan Campbell, Bob. But he said our best players set the tone in practice every single day. And if they don't set that standard, we're in trouble. That was paraphrasing what he was saying. And then they take it to the field. Amon-Ra St. Brown made those plays. Aiden Hutchinson made those plays. Forgive me for it. Muhammad on Detroit had a great game on the defensive line.
And that
was motor. That was relentlessness. This isn't scheme. This has nothing to do with scheme. The Ravens missed 20 tackles in the game. The Lions missed 4. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, like, when I'm looking at that, yeah, scheme could have been better, but the Ravens players didn't execute when they had the opportunity, take out the schemes aside.
When we come back, more of your phone calls, and we're going to hear, as Ryan Ripken interviewed former Ravens defensive coordinator Marvin Lewis, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator, and get his thoughts on what's happening in the NFL world, and in particular what's going on with the Ravens. Got the American League East and Beyond report as well. Birds are in New York taking on the Yankees. Yankees and Blue Jays, they're tied in the East. You got Cleveland and Detroit, they're tied in the Central. Detroit's got Boston. One game separates, what, 3 wild card teams right now in the American League. So stick around for that. And then we'll go to the fun house to get Ryan's prediction for the Ravens and Chiefs. I'm going Baltimore. Nolan's going KC. He's going to break the tie.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're struggling to win a game, people on the outside don't understand this, but you're doing your best coaching because you are turning every rock, every stone in order to figure out a way to come out and be 1 point ahead. And that's the truth of the matter. You know, I spoke with Ozzy, you know, while the Ravens were in training camp, and he's like, you know, schedule makers, you know, they put him in Buffalo to begin the season, and, you know, it's crazy. But yet, you as a coach, you know, John had to get that team ready to play, and just like, you know, Sean on the other side, but win or lose, they still have 16 other games to go forward with.
So that was former Bengals head coach and former Ravens defensive coordinator Marvin Lewis. He sat down with me, Bob, on the Ryan Ripken show just a couple weeks ago, right after the Bills game. And if you guys want to check out the rest of that, that's up on YouTube right now. But Marvin Lewis in Baltimore, especially if you've been following the Ravens since they came to Baltimore, you realize how important he was to the early years and arguably the best defense of all time in 2000. But Bob, what I took away from Marvin and the rest of that interview actually that we talked about is when your back's against the wall is when you can learn the most about your team, and you really have to look at it from one game to the next and you have to move on. You know, he mentioned in his early days he had a lot of failures as a defensive coordinator because I asked him about, you know, we're seeing with young guys, and we've seen it. Zach Orr is the one that has all the attention right now because of this unit. A couple years ago, sorry, it's more than a couple years ago now, but remember that game against the Dolphins? The Ravens blew up a huge lead.
Yeah.
And everyone was going, who's this Mike McDonald guy? What's going on?
In over his head.
In over his head. And you know what? He turned it around. The defense was spectacular that next season in 2023. And Mike McDonald, obviously now head coach out there with Seattle. But, you know, the big thing here for the Ravens and for the fan base to know, they're going to have to keep moving forward. And they know it's not good enough. I think that's understood. I think everyone understands that this Ravens team, if they want to go places, they are really going to have to make adjustments week by week. Because what happened on Monday night against the Lions, if they get bullied like that, and outplayed like that, then they're going to be in serious trouble here as we approach the colder months trying to get to the postseason.
Ravens 2.5-point favorite Sunday afternoon at Kansas City. Let's get out to the phones. We're ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Get the American League East and Beyond report coming up in a few. Let's go to Walbrook. It's Tony. Tony, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Bob, what's free sale this Friday? What is it, Jay-Z today?
Jay-Z, yes.
Yeah, I heard the beats in the background. So I got a question and I got a prediction for the Ravens game. My question is, I hear y'all talking about, you know, us getting a veteran bat for the Orioles and things like that. I mean, do we just need one veteran bat? Like, shouldn't we be looking at least two or three? Because I see a lot of things when I watch the Orioles game, a lot of, you know, impatience at the plate with certain hitters and things like that. And I thought about it. I haven't seen any type of veteran leadership since Adley and Gunnar, those guys, have been here. So do we just need one veteran bat, or do we at least need a little bit more, say two or three, even a pitcher?
Well, I to answer that real quickly, I think a veteran presence could be someone like Adam Frazier a couple years ago that doesn't have to play every day. But I think they do need a bona fide guy that can go in there and get the job done. I think they need a RBI middle of the bat guy, and we're going to figure out who that's going to be moving forward.
All right, cool. And Bob, you ain't the only one. I'm going Ravens on Sunday. I know everything was a little haywire from Monday, and I know everyone is coming down on Orr. I have a problem with Monken. I'm not saying he is the problem, but sometimes, in my opinion, Monken does a bad job of keeping the offense balanced. I can't really, really go into details and give you scenarios and things like this. It's just things that I see, but I can't really go off of it. But I think we will win. I don't think it will be close. I'm giving it between the touchdown or 10 points. I think they can pull it out. Because I don't think they're really going to – we're not the team to take be consistent as far as losing is concerned. And I know we're playing the Chiefs, and we're two veteran teams. We know what we're doing. But I'll take us on the edge because I think everyone is going to sway the other way. So I take us – I say 28-17.
All right. Tony and Walbrook, I said 24-16, so we're thinking along the same lines there. I just think the Chiefs are offensively challenged. And Ravens defense that bad? We'll find out, of course, coming up Sunday at 4:25. Before we get to Cy here, getting back to the Orioles needing a thumper. I mean, here we are a year after they either were in first or second all year long in homers in Major League Baseball. They don't have a guy with 20 home runs. They're 180 as a team somewhere along the, but no one with 20 home runs. And I know 44 went to Toronto, and 31 were supposed to come in with muscles. What's he have, 8?
Yep.
Tater's had a hit and a run, scored in 2 at-bats for Toronto yesterday in their win. But, yeah, they need a masher, like a reliable masher, guaranteed. You look at his stat line, predicted, projected going into the year. I don't know who it is, but that's 35 to 40 bombs, 100 ribbies, OPS, well over 800. They got to get that person, whoever it might be.
Yeah, the phrase I like to use, they need a bopper. They need a guy, middle of the order, that you need to drive a runner in, RBI guy, you need him. And I will, you're not going to find this guy on the market, not that I think, but a guy like Jose Ramirez on the Guardians, he's like the perfect example for me. Hey, Jose, we're going to get on, you're going to bring him in. And Jose in the last, six, seven years, I'm sorry, my math's off, he hasn't had below 80 RBIs, and in that span, he's had 4 or 5 seasons of 105 RBIs or more. You need that guy. You need a guy, crunch time, make something happen. Don't know who that is, Bob, but you're right. The Orioles, they need to start establishing, I don't want to say roles, but they need guys that know what their role can be to help this team.
But as we talk about, Gunnar Henderson is a $500 million guy, maybe more. Shouldn't he evolve into that guy?
Well, I think they got to figure out what they want Gunnar to be. Is he your leadoff guy? Is he going to be the middle of the order bat? You know, I know that the Dodgers like to have, you know, Ohtani at the top of the order and that, and obviously he's a power guy. He does everything, but the Dodgers can have a Monstar type lineup. I don't know if the Orioles are to that caliber yet. So, I think you need to figure out, do we need a leadoff guy? Who's our 3-4-5? Who's the guys that get that money, get that stake? Because right now there isn't enough of that on this Orioles team.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to Randallstown. It's Cy. Cy, thanks for holding. What's happening? Ripping it with Ryan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Jay-Z.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Obviously the adjustments, and obviously, you know, the defense, the adjustments need to be made on defense. But like I said, the offense is the adjustments, like people overlooking. It's like Mitchell. Mitchell, I think, is the ideal change of pace back for a guy like Henry. And obviously, he's not even been, you know, active. But like you said, so 7 sacks, obviously, to slow the pass rush up, a simple screen, you know, I'm not a, you know, they get paid the big bucks, the coaches, but it's like a little bit of football, like a screen will offset some of that pass rush. And we're not running no screens. And I think that would be a good adjustment to have in the offense versus, like, the losses we had, you know, getting late in the games. And we look at how many points the offense is putting up on the board, and it's like, well, the offense is doing their job. But late in the games, we're getting hat in the punt, and we should still be, you know, closing the game out at this time with our best unit on the field with the offense. And we hadn't the punt to Josh Allen with a couple minutes left, and it don't matter. It seems like it really don't matter. Or Detroit, how they're running up and down the field. It really don't matter where they got the ball at on the field. They was going to go down the field. So just patting the punt late in the game versus the offense, you know, closing the game out. And like I said, just not making the adjustments on the offenses, I think is getting overlooked.
All right, Cy, and we talked about it, but Mark Ross said it earlier this week on NFL Network, and Keith Mitchell, we brought him up. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy 2 years ago before the knee injury averaged 8 yards a carry. He was the running back for the Ravens until that Monday night against Jacksonville, and then they limped in, if you will, to the playoffs minus their big threat, making it to the championship game. But, you know, Henry's the unquestioned dude.
Mm-hmm.
But to Cy's point, and Nolan and I have talked about it, Vinny brought it up, I mean, and this is different level speed here, and we'll see. Yeah, I want more Keaton.
Yeah,
I'm down with that.
I think fair to say that the Ravens have a ton of talent offensively, weapons. Like, they have guys that can help you out. D-Hop can go make a contested catch. Zay can kind of be that gadget, do-it-all guy, big games, obviously. Big play bait. Then you have Mark Andrews, likely. Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell is the guy people forget about, and why? He's a home run hitter. But the biggest problem for the Ravens is how do you get those guys to help your team when you need it? They might not be needed every week, but you got to give them an opportunity to make a play.
John Harbaugh meeting with the media today. Isaiah Likely, full participant in practice. What does this mean for Sunday? I think it bodes well for him. Also said Ronnie Stanley is day-to-day with the ankle, but it sounded optimistic. Jonas Schaefer tweeting this out about his track. We'll see, was John's comment. So it doesn't sound like it's etched in stone. He'll be playing. And same with Kyle Van Noy. Still unsure whether or not he could contribute when he comes back from the hammy. So there you go, your Ravens injury update. But when we come back, we'll shift gears to baseball. We're in the final weekend of the regular season. Playoff berths have been clinched. Divisions have been clinched, but still some work to be done in the wild cards for both the American and the National League. And two division crowns are up for grabs in the AL. We're talking about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on The Fan.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
AL East and beyond. Driven over with Ryan here on this Featured Artist Friday. As you heard during Nolan's update, Orioles win the home finale. 6-5. Taking a series from the Rays. Kobe Mayo hit that laser to tie it in the eighth. And then Dylan Beavers goes flat court to win the game and handle the business there. It's off to New York. Trevor Rogers, 9-2 with a 135 earned run average. Will Warren, 8-8 with a 435 spread New York here tied with Toronto. We'll get to the standings here in a second. But Trevor Rogers, most valuable Oriole. Any problemos with that one?
I mean, I think it'd be a problem if he wasn't, right. You know, the most valuable Oriole. He's had one of the most impressive runs the game has ever seen. And I hate the fact that he's not going to have consideration. And it's crazy to think what could have been if he was up just a month earlier in the season. But
or they would have kept him around after the start against Boston.
That would be nice, too.
Yeah, because Mancelino said when we were there a couple of days ago, he got sent back. And it wasn't a rehab thing. It's you're not ready yet. I would have been like, did you just watch the same game?
He looked pretty ready to me. But you know what? You can't argue right now that Trevor Rogers, whatever's happened since then, it's worked. And if he can continue that, he can be a force for this Baltimore team next season.
So it's Rogers, Warren tonight, Sagano, Schlittler tomorrow, and then Kyle Bradish against Heel to wrap up the regular season. The Yankees, we'll get to them in a second. They're tied with Toronto. Toronto last night, been kind of flatlining here as of late, taking on the Red Sox. But Dalton Varsho says, calm down, everybody. I got this.
Yeah, left-hander.
And he's hit it high and deep to right. Grand slam, Dalton Varsho.
Sportsnet on the call, Dan Schulman, 6-1 final score, Varsho grand slam. Springer, he had a two-run jack as well. The Red Sox, however, do win 2 out of 3 games here. Mm-hmm. And so Toronto, they did get Tony Taters back. He got stoned like everybody else 2 nights ago by Crochet, but he had a knock, a run scored, and 2 ABs there. So you get a thumper in the middle of your lineup at the end of September. Speaking of the Yankees, they were taking on the White Sox, and Giancarlo starting to heat up for October, where he usually really starts to percolate.
Ground it and pass me in the left field. Judge scores. Bellinger scores. Rice rounds third. They're sending him home. Here's the throw. He'll score. It is a bases-clearing double by Stanton.
Yes, network on the call there, Giancarlo Stanton. Bases clearing double, as you heard, as the Yankees sweep the right White Sox 5-3. Carlos Rodon picked up his 18th win of the season, 18-9 with a 309 earned run
average. I mean, he's had a tremendous, tremendous year. And if the Yankees were going to take a step to being right there to try to win this division after signing Max Fried and losing Cole and Heel for earlier, they needed Rodon to step up, and he's been sensational for them.
And by the way, you signed the high price ticket like Max Fried, not made it clear on the air for years that, you know, long term deals for pitchers are risky. And who knows? And you know, we don't want anything to happen to Max Fried, who has dealt with injuries before. But boy, did they get their money's worth from that guy or what? To your point,
yeah. I mean, one year, if the Yankees go on to win this World Series this year, go to the playoffs and win, they're not going to care what's really going to happen moving forward. They're going to remember what those guys have done. And Carlos Rodon, another guy, big contract, right? It's paying off for the Yankees right now, but do they have enough to get by the Birds this weekend? Time will tell.
Yep, 2 out of 3 in favor of the Orioles. That's what I'm going with. Our scores yesterday that had impact on the playoffs. Tigers finally get off the schneid. They beat Cleveland 4-2. The Mets beat the Cubs 8-5. The Reds beat the Pirates 2-1. Houston, another team scuffling down the stretch, they beat the A's 11-5. Dodgers shut out Arizona, and doing so clinched the NL West for the 8,000th consecutive time. Standings. Division. Toronto, Yankees, dead heat. Right now, Toronto owns the tiebreaker over New York. But it looked like Toronto was going to kind of clinch it by now. It has not been the case. The Blue Jays host the Rays. 3-game series starting tonight, 7:07. The Biebs on the hill for Toronto there.
I mean, Toronto has everything that they would want going into this final weekend. I mean, yes, they would have loved to have closed it out, but it's the AL East for a reason. This division is loaded. The Orioles are the last place team with 75 victories, and the Blue Jays, Yanks, and most likely, unless something crazy happens, the Red Sox are going to join them in the postseason as well. And it's going to be a good environment up there in Toronto. And I'm with you, Bob. I think the Birds in New York, with the guys they have going, I would not be surprised at all if the Orioles play the biggest spoiler and helped the Blue Jays clinch that AL East.
And Detroit and Cleveland tied for first right now in the Central. Cleveland owns the tiebreaker, but Detroit's a game behind Boston and a game ahead of Houston. Detroit and Boston played this weekend. So one of those two teams, there is a chance, Ryan Ripken, one of those two teams could be on the outside looking in when it is all said and done. Astros are at the Angels.
I mean, the Astros, they've been scuffling, but they have a better assignment than the Red Sox and Tigers. But how about thinking that the Tigers would miss the playoffs, Bob? If we're going to go all the way back, could you have imagined that whatever it was when they were 15 and a half games up on the Cleveland Guardians, 15 and a half games up, to not only that you lose the division, that you miss out on the playoffs with an expanded wild card. This wasn't like, hey, you got to win your division to get in. There's three wild card spots here. I love it. It's exciting for baseball, but if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm sick to my stomach of what could happen here the last 3 years.
Yeah, major choke job for them, even if they do eat their way into the playoffs. In the National League, the Mets are a game up on the Reds, two up on Arizona for the final wild card there. The Padres and Cubs are clinched. They'll play each other, as a matter of fact, in the first round. Mets are at the Marlins. Let's see here. You got the Reds at the Brujas, who have already clinched everything that they need to clinch, and the Diamondbacks are at the Padres.
Oh, well, for the Mets' sake, if they need to win that final spot, I still think the Reds... I love what Tito and Cincy's doing. I think it's a great story. But the biggest story would be the Mets collapsing and missing the postseason with the ginormous payroll, right? That's about your payroll too, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about the same thing. But in all honesty, right, in all seriousness, if you were going to tell me that the Mets last year, NLCS, and then they go and spend a boatload of money and say that you're going to be better, and right now you're on the final days, and you're going to miss the postseason. I heard Michael Kay say this on radio the other day. I think this would be one of the most embarrassing, disappointing moments for a team, given their expectations going into a season.
When we come back, Ryan Ripken's going to give us his prediction for the Ravens-Chiefs game. We're going to get to the Funhouse with Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over. Coming up at 2, followed by the final Baltimore baseball tonight of the season. Over the course of the week, I took the Ravens 24-16. Nolan went with Kansas City.
29-27.
Yep. Ryan Ripken, where are you going with this one?
I'm actually going a little bit on the lower scale with you, Bob. I think it's going to be Ravens 24, but 24-20. I think it's going to have to come down to a last stop by the Ravens defense, or the Ravens offense is going to have to make a play. I think some narratives get broken this week, at least for Baltimore. I also believe that the defense can only go up from here. So I think that they're going to answer the bell. I think that they're going to have a pretty good game plan. And if not, well, it'll be a fun next Friday when we're here, Bob.
No doubt about it. And if we're here on Monday and next Friday and the Ravens, even if they win 38-30, I mean, win's good.
Mm-hmm.
But another 30 points dropped on them by a team that's challenged offensively, it's going to be bad. Stating the obvious, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, I would take winning in a place you have not won in 13 years, I believe it was 2012, when they last beat Kansas City in Kansas City. So I don't care how they do it. They win that game, get the 2-2 coming back to Baltimore where they have another stretch of tough games. I'll take that. Any means necessary.
What if it ends up being final score kind of like that 2012 game? Wasn't that like 9-6, 9-3? Just an absolute snooze fest?
I'll take it.
Yeah, when's the win?
Super Bowl year.
Yeah, that Looper kicks the game-winning field goal, right?
So what are you saying, Nolan, Super Bowl year? Are you saying if the Ravens win in Kansas City, that history is going to repeat itself?
I'm saying I might have a take for Monday, if that's the case.
No, I'm kidding. We got time for a fun house trip?
Always time.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Here's an interesting thought from Mike in Hagerstown. Said Todd Monken talked about the importance of playing ahead to make things easier on the O-line. Do you think if the Ravens win the coin toss this week, that it might be a good idea to take the ball first instead of deferring?
That goes against Harbsy's strategy there, but yes.
Or really, NFL, it seems like every team, when you win, you defer these days.
Because the last thing the defense would need, I would think, is to defer, and then Kansas City scores on its first drive and goes like 95 yards to do so.
But if you're playing to your strengths, I want my offense on the field first.
Yes. I'm with him. Yes.
Hey, change it up. Change it up.
Yeah. Let's do it.
This one here says, Super Bowl or bust, shaping up to be a bust. I hate blaming injuries, but they're becoming insurmountable. No realistic replacements really stepping up, especially last week on the D-line. The slide continues in KC as far as I'm concerned. Our run defense will get trampled. That was Matt in New Orleans, by the way. His score, Chiefs 31, Ravens 24.
But who's running the ball? I mean, are they hoping Pacheco, Kansas City? Because if Mahomes is the leading rusher, that's not good for Kansas City. They're not running all over the Ravens. But no Washington. He has a practice this week. And Matabike, Harbaugh's already ruled him out. So there are two starters already out of this game.
I would say for this, you get run over by David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs and that Detroit line. I know that they had some issues. That's still, they want to run the ball. Good running team, good backs. You get run over by Pacheco and Hunt this weekend. All right, then there's going to be a little bit more of a conversation. I don't care how banged up the team is. That is more concerning here. Just because the Chiefs, like you mentioned, Bob and Nolan, They felt like they've been stuck in the mud, and it's really been Mahomes running around trying to make something happen.
More text here. This one says, everyone wanted a high-powered offense. Everyone wants all these weapons for Lamar. Well, everyone got what they wanted, and the defense is reeling. This offense may be great, but they can't manage the clock and dominate possession like they used to. That's where they're losing.
I would say yes and no on that. I think that the offense, I never want to tell an offense to not score too quickly. You know, like in general, score, right? But I think what the point was back in 2019 or even in 2023, when they're up, they run the football, they take the air out of it, and they haven't done that as much this year. I think the bigger part is just go back to it. You just got to find a way in the must-have moments to close out a game. Or to go ahead, you just got to have those, and they haven't had those enough through the first 3 weeks.
And we saw second half Buffalo and against Detroit all game last week. They can't get off. The defense can't get off the field. The Ravens, not like they're running a ton of plays offensively here.
Right. But I think, to Ryan's point, talk about those long drives, suffocating drives, taking up all that clock. The Lions did that to the Ravens.
Twice.
Right. Those long drive, 10-minute drives, and the commentary teams, you know, losing their mind. They've never had a drive this long in their life. You know, who cares? Shut up. Sorry.
Tell us how you feel.
Going out on a heater.
All right. One last text here. Short and sweet. Says, my issue with the Ravens are, the Ravens are too good and in a win-now position, so why do we have a defensive coordinator who's essentially learning on the job? That doesn't scream win-now.
So I think that when the hire happened, was he maybe a little bit green and maybe not ready at the moment? I think that that's fair to say. But I think what I try to figure out, and Bob and I talked about this off-air, Nolan, weeks 13 through the playoffs. So it's the 6 weeks of the regular season, then the two postseason rounds. The Ravens were number one in all statistical categories. And I know you're missing Matabike, and I know you're saying, is Roquan the same player? But the secondary is better. The pass rush with similar guys isn't getting home. You know, so is it all on Zach, or is there something else there? Because clearly they did have success down the stretch, but clearly they're missing that here through the first quarter of the season.
And they're not forcing turnovers, which was supposed to be a point of emphasis as well. That's going to do it for us for the week. We'll be back on Monday. Ryan will be back next Friday.
See you next Friday.
Because Vinny's off all day next Friday. Nolan, you'll be doing the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show from the Green Turtle in Canton. Coming up, Ravens and Chiefs. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, Ryan Ripken, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, Chris Smith.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.